Shut up and sit down.
Hey there, guys and gals, all you hip cats, cool kittens, my diesel poor disciples of full, my friends and foes. Welcome back to another episode of the Diesel Punk Podcast here on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and even Spotify. I am your host, the comic book loving, time traveling, prophet of pop culture, the voice of Diesel Punk, the artist also known as the Bamboozlist, Big Daddy Cool, John Pica. You can call me Johnny. And for those of you who are listening to us on iTunes, we're also streaming live video on Facebook. So you may hear me talking to the camera from time to time, like Eric Fisk. He just joined us, and he's watching. He'll be posting comments as we go along. So this week, a lot of kind of cool stuff is happening in the world of Diesel Punk. First of all, we finally got a firm date for Man in the High Castle Season 4. Episode 1 of Season 4 will drop on Amazon Prime on November the 15th, 2019. So that is your date, ladies and gentlemen. November the 15th, it is the fourth and final season, where everything gets wrapped up, we think. Or at least a new status quo will be established. And that's Juliana Crane going through the classic hero's journey. And if you've not studied anything about the hero's journey, Joseph Campbell's theory about heroes in classical literature and mythology, you ought to. Because Juliana Crane in this show has definitely been through the hero's journey, and the hero's journey always ends with a new status quo. So I have a feeling I know what that's going to be, but if you've not seen Man in the High Castle seasons 1 through 3, then I don't want to spoil it. But Eric Fisk says, November, I think I'm catching the flu that day. They do drop all of the episodes at once, right? I always forget. Because some, like Hulu does it, some all at once, some week by week. On the original series, Netflix drops them all at once. And I think Amazon kind of does it the same way Hulu does. But it's on Amazon Prime. Season 4 drops November the 15th. I can't wait. Now, if you saw my reviews of Iron Sky The Coming Race, you know that I loved it. It is currently available on streaming as well, but the DVD and Blu-ray hit stores actually last Tuesday. And last Tuesday we weren't on the air. My life kind of got hijacked a little bit, so I wasn't able to really come and give you the heads up. But good news for Iron Sky fans, everywhere I've gone, it's already sold out. I did see it at Target last Wednesday, the day after it came out. They were already sold out of the Blu-rays. They only had DVDs on the shelf left. I went back to that same Target yesterday. Gone. Completely vanished. So I don't have my own copy yet on a hard disk. I've only watched it on a rental on Amazon Prime. But it is definitely on my list. And if you see Iron Sky, The Coming Race, in hard copy, DVD or Blu-ray, snatch it up because they're flying off shelves. Same thing happened with the first one, which is why it's always odd to me that, you know, haters, you know, call it a flop when it sold out everywhere it was. It was a huge hit. And very profitable in terms of the fact that, you know, both movies were funded by crowdsourcing, by the fans. And so any profit they make is just icing on the cake. So that we got that. Go check that out. Now, if you haven't seen the news that has broken the internet, the Mandalorian trailer dropped for Lucasfilm and Disney Plus. And why am I bringing that up on the Diesel Punk Podcast? Because it has Well, first of all, I believe Star Wars is good diesel punk. But second of all, The Mandalorian definitely has that noir western look and feel to it. And there's a lot of cool stuff going on in that show. It is very deco heavy, as Eric Fisk mentioned. Star Wars is really deco inspired, and Jon Favreau, the director of The Mandalorian, really is sticking with that deco aesthetic. What makes something diesel punk? Well, one, it has to have the aesthetics, the style of the era, the late 19-teens, 1920, let's say, through the 1950s. And of course, Star Wars was inspired by those great serials of the 30s and 40s. You know, Buck Rogers, Flash Gordon, The Shadow, Green Hornet. You know, those were the influences that George Lucas drew from. So Star Wars automatically has the visual aesthetics. It's got to have science fiction and fantasy, which, hello, we're talking about Star Wars here, right? It definitely has the science fiction and fantasy. That's what it's all about. And sometimes that science fiction and fantasy can just be alt history. Like Inglourious Basterds was alternate history. And, you know, sometimes it can be magic and can be, you know, future technology. Something that turns it on its side and takes it away from being historically accurate to being alternative history. And often that's science fiction and fantasy. And then it's got to have punk. It's got to celebrate the anti-hero or celebrate the fight against totalitarianism, authoritarianism. And hello, basically the entire Star Wars mythos is rebels fighting against a Nazi regime. I know they're not Nazis in the you know, literal sense, but clearly the Empire was inspired by World War II Germany. You look at the visual aesthetics, and it is very clear that that's where Lucas's inspiration came from. So those three things to me make Star Wars diesel punk. And Eric Fisk says, don't forget the uniforms and props were visually inspired by the Spanish Civil War and World War II. Exactly. Just what I said, Eric. Thanks for playing along. Yeah, I know it's not a movie. Star Wars aren't movies that I would hand someone and say, hey, this is diesel punk, if they asked. You know, that honor belongs to Sky Captain or The Rocketeer. Those are, you know, the first gateway movies into diesel punk, in my opinion. But once you get into the genre and you really appreciate it, it's clear Star Wars comes along for the ride. And so the Mandalorian trailer dropped. It looks phenomenal. It is visually stunning. It is cinematically shot. My son said, it looks like one of the movies. And it does, but it's for TV. And I'm really excited about that. You know, this was not a series that I was, like, sold on. But now that I've seen the trailer, it looks great. And it's set right after Return of the Jedi. So it has that original trilogy setting, that feel, that used universe feeling that we really haven't seen in the newer movies. The prequel trilogy was before the fall, before the Empire took control and became a dystopian society. And now the new films are 20 years later when they've rebuilt everything. And now they're resisting the rise of the New Order and trying to maintain the kind of the clean, shiny newness of the universe. So The Mandalorian is set in that time right after Return of the Jedi when it was still kind of dystopic. And so for you dystopian fans, The Mandalorian, and that drops also in November on Disney Plus. So Eric, we're going to have kind of a conflict of interests. Man in the High Castle, Mandalorian, not to mention all of the other great, great Disney, Lucasfilm, Marvel, and Pixar content that is going to be dropping in November, including the new Rocketeer series, the animated series for kids. So, we get Man in the High Castle Season 4, Disney Plus launches, we get The Mandalorian, we get the new Rocketeer, and, you know, all of the other Disney catalog, the original Rocketeer, Indiana Jones, most of the Star Wars sagas. The original trilogy is still under contract with Spike TV for distribution until 2001. We get all the Marvel films. So we get Captain America, we get Agent Carter, and I know some of those are on Netflix right now, but to have them all in one place is going to be really great. So that's kind of what's going on in the news this week. Also, I wanted to point out to you guys some brand new releases. You guys need to go to Amazon right now and order Grim, Grit, and Gasoline. This is Dieselpunk and Decopunk Fairy Tales. It's an anthology edited by Rhonda Parrish, and it is my goal to get her on the podcast very soon to talk about this, but she sent me a review copy. I've read it. It's awesome. It's a collection of short stories about, you know, based on the classic fairy tales, but they are remixed in a dieselpunk or decopunk setting. You've got retellings of The Little Mermaid, Hansel and Gretel, Rapunzel, Cinderella, The Monkey King, which was one of my favorite, Swan Lake, Pinocchio, and more. And all different authors. You got Alicia Anderson, Jack Bates, Patrick Bolivar, Sarah Cleto, Amanda Davis, Jennifer Donahue, Juliet Harper, and it just goes on and on and on and on. I can't list every author that has submitted stories for this. I hope some of these guys answer my call for Advance the Spark, Tales from the Decoverse, because that would be awesome. But Grim, Grit, and Gasoline, Dieselpunk, and Decopunk Fairy Tales. It's phenomenal. It's great. You need to go to Amazon right now and order it. It is dropping next week, but you can pre-order it now or get it on Kindle version. But why would you want to do that? Get the actual physical copy. Go ahead and pre-order it and get it in your hands. You will love it. I will love it. And Rhonda, if you're watching this, we need to set up that interview. Next Tuesday at 10 a.m. would be really great. Just saying. All right. So that's new out this week. I know a lot of you are waiting with bated breath to hear and see my review of Tommy Gunn Wizards. This came out just today. It's New Comic Day in the U.S., and today was the release date for the Tommy Gunn Wizards. What's the story behind it is Elliot Ness and his Untouchables are fighting Al Capone's gang, but the prohibition isn't against alcohol. The prohibition is against the use of magic. How cool is that? So it kind of combines the Untouchables with, you know, the world of Harry Potter. And look, they incorporated Sean Connery's character. I mean, how can you not love that? This is written by Christian Ward. Art is by, let me make sure I get all the names right. So, written by Christian Ward, art by Sammy Cavella. And the artwork has a very, it's very reminiscent of Lee Weeks and his work on Daredevil, which is apropos because, you know, you're kind of going for this noir style. And Lee Weeks had a very noir style. So, Look at that. That's Chicago. This diesel punk Chicago. Kelly Sue DeConnick, the writer of Captain Marvel and a lot of other high-profile books, said, "This world presents the fantastic in stride, giving us gangsters and eldritch horrors, magic and speakeasies, all in one breath. The result is at once familiar and delightfully weird." And it really is. It's got that action noir feel, but it does feel really on the weird side because it is an odd mashup when you think about it. But I love mashups. The cover artwork is gorgeous. The interior artwork is really solid. The only complaint I have, and this is a common complaint with comics for me these days, is that there are places where it is difficult to tell some of the characters apart. I think this is Elliot Ness, but I'm not entirely sure. So that's my only complaint. It's solid. I give this a definite 9 out of 10. I recommend you pick it up. And I'm going to go ahead and call it right now that when the trade paperback comes out, when all of the issues come out in a collected edition, that is going to be on my Diesel Punk Essentials library list. This could live right alongside the universe of Bitterroot, Moonshine, Turf, and The Damned. It would be awesome. Golly, it would be awesome if someone could figure out a way to create that shared universe. Speaking of shared universes, have you heard? I'm creating a new shared universe. A Diesel and Decopunk shared universe called the Decoverse. We're looking for authors for the first edition anthology, Advance the Spark, Tales, Two-Fisted Tales of the Decoverse. All you got to do is send me an email, johnpica@johnpica.com or bigdaddycool@bigcoolshows.com or feedback@dieselpunkpodcast.com and let me know that you want to be an author contributor. And if you don't have the original Bible, the book that the Diesel, the Decoverse is going to be based off of, you need to pick up Tales from the Flip Side. I'm happy to send you a PDF copy, but you know what? This is going to be out of print pretty soon. It's still available on Amazon, but I don't know for how long because the rights have reverted back to me, but the publisher still has it listed as an active title. Go order it right now. You can download it on audible.com. Go ahead and do it right now before it's gone. And maybe, who knows, maybe I can squeeze a few extra royalties out of a last ditch before it goes out of print. I will be reprinting it, but in a different format, in a new anthology, and the stories will be broken up a little bit differently. So you will never be able to get it in the original format ever again. But if you would like to play in my sandbox and write some stories from the Decoverse, hit me up. I'll get you the Bible and tell you all about what I need in submissions. And some of you have already seen the call. I know that Never Was Magazine published it. A couple of other steampunk sources published the call for authors. I'd love, love, love for you to be a part of the Decoverse. Have I stressed that enough? All right. Speaking of Dieselpunk Essential Libraries, we got to talk about an essential movie. Every week, I share my essential movie and a different essential book or books. A lot of times, the books are in the form of graphic novels. And this week is no exception. Although, Tales from the Flip Side and Grim, Grit, and Gasoline need to be in your Diesel Punk Essential Library. Especially this one, because you won't be able to get it in that format anymore. But this week, I have another graphic novel. And this is one that you heard us talk about a lot last year. Because it wasn't just a comic book series. It wasn't just published as a graphic novel. It actually became a live, immersive, interactive theater production. I am talking about The Girl Who Handcuffed Houdini. It is the story of Minky Woodcock, and it is by Cynthia Von Bueller. And this is basically following the adventures of a private investigator, Minky Woodcock, who goes undercover as one of Harry Houdini's assistants. And at the end of the day, she's trying to find his murderer. A lot of people believe Houdini was killed, he was murdered, and this book takes that tact. Now, I'm not going to show you the interior artwork because it's for mature audiences only. There is some nudity in this, there's some harsh language, but Cynthia Von Bueller's artwork is very unique in that she does, what is the technique called? She paints on wood. I can show you this. So she paints each figure on different wood plates and then layers them. It's not Mod Podge, but it's a similar technique to what my friend Janet Lee uses in Return of the Dapper Men. Very cool style, very compelling story, especially if you're a Houdini fan. It takes place in 1926. It fits all of the criteria of Dieselpunk, The Girl Who Handcuffed Houdini. This belongs in your Dieselpunk Essentials library. Now, moving on to a essential movie. Every week I've covered what I believe is an essential movie. We've talked about Rocketeer, Batman 89. What else did we cover? Mystery Men, which can qualify as Dieselpunk. The Iron Giant. And a few more. This week is one of the movies that if you ask me, what is Dieselpunk? Along with Sky Captain, along with The Rocketeer, I would hand this movie to you and say, watch this. This is Dieselpunk. And I am talking about Captain America, the First Avenger. It has everything that Dieselpunk is. And it gives us the launch of Agent Carter, which was the most Dieselpunk TV show ever made before Man in the High Castle came out. But what a great cast. You got Chris Evans as Steve Rogers, Captain America, Sebastian Stan as Bucky Barnes, the future Winter Soldier, Haley Atwell as the gorgeous, talented, super strong, and strong I mean by character, strong character. Peggy Carter, you got Tommy Lee Jones, you got Hugo Weaving as the Red Skull, and one of those characters that I believe if you ever see this credit on a movie, this name on a movie, it is worth watching, and that is, of course, Stanley Tucci. Stan Tucci plays Dr. Erskine in this movie, and any movie with Stanley Tucci in it is worth seeing. He automatically elevates the movie to a higher status, and in this case, he elevates it to a Dieselpunk masterpiece. The DVD has some special features, Outfitting a Hero, how they interpreted the classic Captain America uniform into a true Dieselpunk functional uniform. The assembly begins. It starts the documentary about the assembling the Avengers. And here's what it says on the back. Captain America leads the fight for freedom in the action-packed blockbuster starring Chris Evans as the ultimate weapon against evil. When a terrifying force threatens everyone across the globe, the world's greatest soldier wages war on the evil Hydra organization led by the villainous Red Skull. Critics and audiences alike salute Captain America, the First Avenger, as pure excitement, pure action, and pure fun. Now, this was directed by Joe Johnson. If that name sounds familiar, he has some pretty stout diesel punk directing credentials and pedigree. He was one of the writers on the Indiana Jones saga, in particular Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. He was one of the assistant directors, one of the co-writers. He was the director of The Rocketeer and now Captain America. So his diesel punk pedigree goes back all the way to the 1980s with Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. I would love to see some more from Joe Johnson. I would love to see more in this era. That would be fantastic. So this is like one, should be one of your top three in your diesel punk essential video library. It should be Sky Captain, Rocketeer, and Captain America. And whether Rocketeer or Captain America comes first or second, that's up to you. Those are your top three, in my humble opinion. And who am I to even offer my opinion? Oh, that's right. I'm the voice of diesel punk. I'm the one with the podcast. Seriously, folks. I'm not in charge of diesel punk. Anyway, so that's it for this week's episode. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of action-packed stuff. There will be more. I have a feeling, like Eric said, that when Hulu and Disney Plus launch in November, we are going to really just have a lot to talk about. Stuart Anthony is the man. Do you mean Stanley Tucci? Who's Stuart Anthony? Eric Fisk is saying Stuart Anthony is the man. I'm lost, Eric. Help me out. What are we talking about? Who's Stuart Anthony? While he's collecting his thoughts and typing a comment, let me just finish up our recording by telling our audience that if you like the show, send us some feedback. Feedback at dieselpunkpodcast.com, or go on iTunes or Stitcher and post a review. Make it good. Give us a 5-star review. Let us know what you think of the podcast. And while you're at it, you can support us. We could use your support on Patreon at patreon.com/BigDaddyCoolShows, or just click on be a patron at dieselpunkpodcast.com. We're looking for $1 or $2. Stuart Anthony from the Diesel Punk Depot, he said. He's in the audience. Oh, I didn't know. So, Stuart Anthony, I'm sorry. I didn't know that's who you were talking about, Eric. I thought you were talking about Stanley Tucci, and it came up incorrect. So I'm trying to scroll here to see. Sorry, Stuart. See, context is everything, Eric. Anyway, for those of you listening online, thanks for joining us. Hope you have had a great, great listening. And we're going to sign off here the way we always do, by telling you to swing hard, swing often, and we'll catch you on the flip side.